Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Welcome to another GeoMob Podcast. This morning, it's my great pleasure to be talking to Peter Petrick, who's the CEO of Mergin Maps and managing partner at Lutra Consulting, who develop Mergin Maps and are also a major QGIS contributor. Peter, well, I was going to say Peter is a hardcore techie, but actually I'm going to say Peter was a hardcore techie and an open sourcer and a QGIS core contributor. But nowadays, he tells me he spends a lot more time managing a company of 25 people than he does actually writing code. So, Peter, welcome to the GeoMob podcast, first thing.
Thank you very much for having me here. Great pleasure.
And let's start by you telling me a bit about how did you get into geo? What got you into geo? Did you start as a geographer? Did you start as a developer and stumble into geography?
I started as a developer, and it's very easy. Everything comes with a friend. So I was working with Martin Dobiaš and previous company and together. And Martin was always inside the open source QGIS from the university, and he left the company, we worked together, and 1 year after I was looking for a job, and he was like, hey, Peter, like, come here to do open source GIS development, and because I know Martin and he's a very good friend of mine, I was like, yeah, let's dive into that. And I joined Lutra at the very beginnings, like 10 years ago. And it was my first experience with both open source and GIS at all. So it was really new experience.
And when you started, there was you and Martin in the Czech Republic and Peter and Saba in London or in the UK. Not in London.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
And so Lutra is, when you started, Lutra was a consulting business doing GIS development for people and that sort of thing, yes?
Yes, yes. We started as a GIS developers, mostly development of QGIS and QGIS plugins for public and private plugins. And that was 15 years ago the company started, and until, I don't know, 5 years ago, it was mostly software development company in this like open source GIS environment.
Right. And then what became a big change for the company when you started to develop Mergin Maps? Is that right?
Yeah, like it's a completely new business, because then we got a project for development of mobile collection application for National Park in UK, and we tried to simplify it as much as possible for the rangers, so it's like easy to use for everyone. And then somehow we started like, okay, let's do some product out of it, and turns out that it's quite popular. And like a few years ago, we starting getting new people in the team and getting more and more users that use the application. And now it's kind of like half of the company, half the business and half the people are working on Mergin Maps. And frankly speaking, it's a completely different world than custom software development. You need to like look at the company differently. You need to focus on, you know, more about support, more about like long-term project and software as a service. It's different than consultancy. So we are learning our way through this new endeavor.
So explain to me what Mergin Maps is. Is it QGIS on a mobile phone?
Yeah, you can say it this way. It's of course more, but I like to explain the way that if your company already uses QGIS as your GIS tool of choice, and you are on open source mostly, then merging maps is the like easiest way for you as a GIS power user to get your team outside and capture data, view data, review data, and you don't need to train them. Like, we try to improve the application in a way that it's more user-friendly and more in line with the, all the other applications you normally use as a navigation for a car or anything else that is like standard today. So really try to do no training application that you can just get your colleague who doesn't know anything about GIS and he can like do some work outside with it. And for you as a GIS power user, of QGIS power user, you don't need to do any transformation of the project or data because it really is QGIS running on your mobile with simplified interface, with different interface.
Right. So in addition to the mobile app, though, there's a whole load of stuff going on in the cloud, isn't there?
Yeah, so we started with Martin Dobiasz. What we need is that we need easy interface for mobile, and also if you have multiple people outside doing everything offline, which is very common, then when they come back to the office, they can like hit the sync button and everything like merges together. So there is like no manual. So we are thinking like, okay, something like Git merging, but yeah, for non-technical people. And we've been developing various ways, and then we ended up with the GeoDiff library, which is a small open source project. And it's a kind of like based on some SQLite extension modified. And what it does is that if you have Geo package on a phone, you add in the data there. And when you have multiple people and you come to the office, it looks on all the like base files and modified files and automatically resolves like what should go where. So it all merges together automatically. And there's like a huge benefit because you can work completely offline. So it does versioning, but it's way simpler than Git. It's kind of only for GIS data and geo packages.
And despite the fact that most of us are addicted to being connected all of the time, if you're doing field data collection and you're out in the middle of a field collecting species or looking at utility infrastructure or something, you're often nowhere near mobile reception. So being offline is particularly important in this area, I guess.
Yeah, but you can also, let's say, you can be online, but not fully. Like if you go in a cave or if you even like below some building or there's like... And as you said, like merging maps is used worldwide, and in some areas you really just have internet in an office or at home. So, or specifically with merging maps, you can also capture photos or some larger files. And yeah, if you have many photos, you even like in a Western, in a UK, you may want to just upload that like all the data in the office on a better internet.
Yeah, I get you. So how many, do you know how many users you have?
Yeah, it's, we know something and we know that we don't know something. And then there is this, we don't know part. But because Merging Maps is open core model, then... let me explain how it works. The server, there is a community version, community edition of the server, and the server as such, you can take it from GitHub, deploy it, and it has all the features you need for field surveys. And there is an extension, Enterprise Edition, which has some extra features for larger companies. And everything else is open source. Like mobile application is fully open sourced. All the extensions like QGIS plugin and some integrations with PostGIS and all that is open source. So if you deploy your own Community Edition server and you disable calling home, like we don't know that you are using it. So we cannot estimate that. But for simplicity of the setting up and trialing the setup, there is also cloud solution where you can buy a subscription after trial. And it's going out of the box, and you don't need to install anything or maintain a server and install upgrades or backup. So there are also users on the cloud service.
So that gets to the question of how do you make money out of this?
Oh, merging maps or QGIS?
No, out of merging maps.
Yeah, so majority of the income is through this cloud subscriptions where people subscribe, and that's majority of the income. And then we have some enterprise clients that have this custom solution, also connected with some custom code or some custom development. So let's say they want to also build up, for example, QGIS functionality or QGIS plugin for REST, or make some like more not just field survey, but they want some other tools or consultancy. So we have also this. As I mentioned, we have 13 people working on merging maps in the company at the moment, and I'm glad that the project is generating money to pay our lives. So as a developer, so that's great.
So give me an example of a couple of case studies, people using it, doing interesting things using merging maps in the field.
Yeah, for this, best is to look at mergingmaps.com/case studies. There is plenty of case studies, but recently I really like one case study, last one. And we've been on Phosphor.G
in Brazil.
Estonia.
Oh, in Estonia.
Tartu.
Yeah.
And guys from MapTiler, I know that you have podcast recently, with Tom. They were next to us, and we are talking about MapTiler and merging maps, and they come with, oh, there is a nice project we did with merging maps and MapTiler, and we talk about that, and then now it is case study, and it's really great because they did in Czech Republic system for based on open source, so it's based on merging maps open source edition and MapTiler server, and they have sensors in a land, and it's for preventing mosquitoes or monitoring mosquitoes. So we hate all mosquitoes, so everything against that is good. and so they have some sensors, they get the data from sensors to PostGIS. Then they have people with merging maps going outside and doing some menu, like in-person controls or some special places. Then they have all connected together, so it all comes to the PostGIS. They have some background maps and everything. They produce vector tiles and create some nice map about all that. So it's really interesting. And what I really love on the open source is that, and that's what I realized a long time ago, is that open source for me, like GIS open source, is like puzzle. You know, like there are many of these projects, and you try to solve one thing very good, and you need to communicate and with other projects like MapTiler or QGIS or all this GDAL and everyone, and if you need to do something really great, PostGIS, you need to make this puzzle together, there's some interfaces, and you can tweak it so it's really nice what you want to achieve. And this is really good. Like, this is a nice example of that. You combine like a lot of technologies, open source technologies, and it's a really cool project.
And there's a good culture of cooperation and collaboration between open source projects and open source businesses. They don't see themselves as being competitive in the way maybe that some other businesses would do.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. This is the case. And we have good connections with rest of the projects, and we always try to like make the integration and connections and as easy as possible. And frankly, like, we meet quite frequently on various PhosForge events and other events, so I have a lot of personal friends in a community, and it's also great to like be part of the bigger picture, you know.
Yeah, so let's switch from merging to Lutra and QGIS, because half your business is around merging maps and the mobile mapping applications and field mapping, and the other half is about traditional GIS consulting. But a lot of that is QGIS contributions of one sort or another, yes?
Yes, like it's all around QGIS in a way, and recently it's almost like exclusively about QGIS. We used to do some web maps, but now it's really focusing on QGIS, and it's mostly about QGIS core development. We have a few QGIS core developers in a team, led by Martin Dobiaš and Stefanos Natsim. So there's plenty of projects that we could approach, like point cloud is a big thing that we are developing in 3D recent last years. Before, when I used to code, I was personally working on mesh layers for a few years with Martin, and other stuff, but And then there is always some Python plugins where you develop either publicly published QGIS plugins or some private plugins. And we also offer services around. So we do trainings for QGIS and merging maps. We offer SLAs, support license agreements, and support for QGIS, merging maps, PostGIS, and also GeoServer and other technologies. So some companies or councils in UK, we have an agreement with them, and we help them to use. And we also do migration to open source. So our mission is to spread open source GIS, and we have a project where we migrate, like, say, whole council to open source stack, and it's like a larger project with not just writing the plugins they need that are not available out of the box from QGIS, to migrate the users, to train them, to and support them for years. So it's kind of like bigger projects.
Right. So with QGIS development, Explain to the people who don't understand open source, the business model of open source, because you can go to QGIS.org and you download the software and it's free. And you can go back in another 3 months' time or 6 months and download the latest version and it's free. And there are hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of plugins to do special things that you can download and add, and they're free. But you and I both know that nothing's free. Somebody has to pay for it somewhere.
Yes. So specifically with QGIS development, yes, it's true that it's free. And but generally, if you are a larger company or governmental organization, or even if it is very popular, like point clouds are a really good example of this. We've been talking about 3D and point clouds with Martin Dobiaš. I remember a few years ago, yeah. Like in a plane flying to some conference, or like all these point clouds. It would be so nice to have it in QGIS, but we're talking that it's a huge amount of work to develop it. But we see on the market or with the users that like everyone wants point clouds. It's like a lot of these drones and a lot of other like point cloud 3D data around, and it's really pity that QGIS was not able to open it. And when there is like need for it, then there is always a way how to get the money to pay developers. It's always that we need to get more companies, like for example Nile, to the project, and we need to do it as a group, as a QGIS, right? But if there is a market push for the functionality, then all you can always get the money for it. So it's like these big features are not developed in evenings anymore for QGIS. Like it's big enough project that for example here we started with crowdfunding, like few crowdfunding campaigns. We get some prototype, and people are more interested, and then some bigger clients, companies came to us or others like this is nice, but what about this? And we did this, and usually when they see that if the functionality they need is in QGIS and they pay for it, maybe with some other companies, it will be way more, it will be better for them in long term, because the savings on the licenses, because QGIS is free and open source, after it's developed, then it will like get back to them very, very short period of time.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, OSGEO UK also contributed to the crowdfunder.
Yes, that's right.
And that's sort of a really nice loop, because you have the conferences that OSGEO UK runs in the UK. And if they're well attended and sponsored, there's a surplus, and then that surplus goes back to supporting the projects, and it's a virtuous cycle. It's good people putting work in and other people contributing to support them doing that. It's a great model. I love it.
I've been in a UK OSGEO conference last year and Bristol. And it was really, really nice event.
Yeah, good. So there's a book.
Yes, it is.
This is when your product has reached a certain status, when somebody writes a book, and particularly, I don't know who Sasser is, but I do know who Kurt is. Tell me about the book.
Yeah, the book is, it was kind of our dream to have a book. And there is other dream to have a conference,
right.
That's
user group.
User group, yeah. But the book is really that Sasha, she's our part-time technical writer at Ultra Consulting. So he's with us a few years, working very part-time, like half a day, one day per week. And she's really great. She's taking care of the Merging Maps documentation, technical documentation. I was on a conference again. I don't know which one was it. Maybe it was even the Kosovo one in Prizren, but I don't remember. And Kurt, I talked with Kurt, and let's do this book. Like, you are so great at writing these QGIS books. And I know that Kurt already edits a chapter in his book about merging maps, like second edition. I was like, Kurt, like, let's do a full book. Like, you can do it with Sasha, and we can help you if needed. But have our full support, and they have some calls, and they worked on a book for almost a year, and we got it released just before the QGIS user conference in Bratislava, which was kind of our home territory, because Martin Dobiaš is now in Bratislava, and we have, I don't know, 6-7 people around Bratislava and few people in Czech Republic. So we were like 10 people from Lutra there, and we managed to release the book, and we had a release, how it's called, a release party, the conference with champagne and everything, and it was really fun. So that's, I'm really excited to have a book outside, and really grateful for the work of Kurt and Sasha.
So you just said something which sort of prompted me. You're in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And you've got quite a few of your staff are out there. So are quite a few of the MapTiler people are in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
What's going on there?
MapTiler people are some close friends from Czech Republic, and also the CEO of MapTiler, Peter, is also from Czech Republic. So they started in Czech Republic, moved to Switzerland, and there's a lot of, you know, friends from MapTiler in Czech Republic. Yeah,
is there something special about the Czech Republic?
I don't know. Like I'm Slovak, right. But then I went to university to Prague and met my wife. So she's a Czech, so I stayed here. But it's mostly our team nowadays. Like we are full remote, but we have a few people in Czech Republic and Slovakia, the biggest part, and it's mostly about me and Martin Dobiaš. We are around the area, and we were kind of driving the development, and have a friends from university and others. So it's kind of like naturally, you know, gravitated towards like statistically more people in the area, because specifically in QGIS development and or open source, like we are looking for people that we either know from the university or we know from the conferences, or we kind of like recognize them through their contributions. Like for example, if you are a good developer and you do few of nice pull requests in QGIS, then people will, oh, who is this guy? Like where he's located, and people are getting interested, and you may after some time be approached by one of the companies like us, like hey, like we need you, like do you want to do what you do in the evenings but get paid for it, you know, full time.
That's a great way to sum it up, what you do in the evenings but getting paid for it. I like that. So there's your company, but you're not the only QGIS contributors. There are a number of companies around the world contributing to QGIS.
Yes, like there are like few companies and people that doing the QGIS core development, and like tens, I would say, of people, and mostly grouped in few companies. Then there is, of course, a lot of volunteers and other people that are doing other stuff for QGIS project, you know, translations, conferences, and all that. Like, that's really, without that, it wouldn't be a community and the project would not be good enough. And then there is another group of companies that doing, let's say, Python development, plugin development, that are not doing core development. And even more companies doing support and training and some consultancy around. So it's a huge business around the world around QGIS and open source GIS, of course, but yeah. Specifically about QGIS.
Yeah, I mean, around the world, QGIS must be generating full-time jobs for hundreds of people.
Yeah, or thousands, maybe.
Maybe even thousands. Which, when you think of the enormous resources in California for producing GIS software, QGIS is now starting to, it may not be the same size, but it's no longer a trivial small project on the side. It's a proper, you know, it's a substantial organization, QGIS now.
Yeah, and Europe is like more inside QGIS, like it's going this direction for a longer time. But other part of the world, specifically USA or Australia and other parts are going this direction. Like it's a future, yes, definitely.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. I spent 20 years working, evangelizing for open source and QGIS. So, yeah, it's great to see how it carries on gaining support from larger organizations and how the open source model that we have with lots of companies able to contribute together rather than one company having to work in competition with another company. It's a great model.
And what is great on the model is that it doesn't stand on a Lutra, let's say. Like it's not falling with one particular company getting out of the business. Like it's very stable in a way that you can choose. Usually, okay, for QGIS core features, maybe you cannot choose for so many companies, but generally, if you need to do something with QGIS, training, support, some Python plugins or integrate it, like you can choose very many companies, local or global, and like it's very stable in a way that there's a lot of like opportunities how to get inside open source and use it in your company or for your project.
Great. Peter, it's been a pleasure talking with you. It's really been great to hear the progress that you've made with Merging Maps. I can remember when Saba was promoting Merging Maps 5-6 years ago, the very early stages of that, you know, and it was not what it is today. And the fact that you've built a business out of this product is fantastic. Congratulations to you and all of your team. And thank you for everything that you've contributed to QGIS Core and to the wider open source community. You're a great company and I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for having me on the podcast. It was a pleasure. So.
Great. Okay. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.